Welcome to the Know Your Rights Camp podcast. I'm Mia Bell. I've been a member of the Know Your Rights Camp since 2017, which started for me in New Orleans, which is a very important part of the conversation that we're going to have today. Just a little bit more about myself and outside of the community work that I do, I am a radio and TV personality out of New York City with a hand in book publishing. So, you know, that's me. And to this side of me, I have Chandra Rogers, who is one of our youth ambassadors from the Lower East Side Girls Club in New York City. Go ahead, Chandra. Drop the credentials, girl.
Hi, everybody. I am Chandra. As you just heard, I am a poli-sci major on pre-law track, minoring in media journalism at Howard University. I've been a youth ambassador for Know Your Rights Camp also since the 2017 New Orleans camp. And I work really full-time activist student, so I have a lot of different activism things going on separately, and I love to use art as a way to do that. So,
yeah. Now, we have a special guest who is also a member of the Know Your Rights Camp, but this year, he's going to be speaking and spreading the knowledge of art and activism, and he goes by the name of Brandon B. Mike Odoms. Clap it up, y'all. You got to clap for yourself, too. Hold on now. I'm not done. Because B. Mike has used his talents to merge art, entrepreneurship, and activism to create change globally. And that is why you're here today, and it's a pleasure to be sharing this space with you, and also just, you know, allowing listeners to see an inside look at all of the greatness that, you know, we get to experience at these camps that we host all around the country. Right. So, B. Mike, how you feeling, man?
I'm feeling great. I'm happy to be here. You know, it's been a while, so I'm excited to be back amongst everybody. And yeah, you know, there's a lot of good energy here, so I appreciate that.
Of course. Now, when did the Know Your Rights Camp journey start for you?
It also started for me in a lot of ways in New Orleans. Right. That's where I first met most of the folk, and it was my hometown, so it was like, you know, I was asked to do some things, and I was happy to be a part, and ever since then, I've been rocking with y'all.
Now, what made you use art to kind of create change within our community? Like, what sparked that?
So I grew up seeing a lot of amazing people be servants. You know what I mean? Like, my father was in the military for a long time, as well as he's a pastor. My grandfather was into politics. My mother was always in the community working. So it was like, I always see these examples of people who did things that were in service to others. You know, seeing my father put on a uniform every day and what that meant to him. You know what I mean? Seeing every Sunday or whatever, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, seeing church, having church and seeing
come on
the way
with
they,
it.
Haven't seen the way that that was a aspect of them being of service to others.
Right.
You know, my grandfather and grandmother would host these political meetings at their home, their small home in a black community in New Orleans called Algiers. And they were the house that you had to go to if you wanted to win that district. So all the politicians knew you had to go to Mr. Sonny's house to speak to the people in that community. And growing up seeing those examples, it was always like firsthand, like whatever you do has to be in service to other people.
Right.
At its best is when it's in service to other people. So as I started to develop what I love to do, which was creating art, it was just a no-brainer to connect it to being of service.
Absolutely. How has the community around you, especially growing up, taught you to kind of follow that path and spread it in the way that they have spread it to you?
Well, being from New Orleans is a huge part of that. You know, New Orleans is a city that it's, you could throw a rock and hit the greatest cook, the greatest musician. You know what I mean? It's just, we're surrounded by talent. But the thing about New Orleans is beautiful, but also challenging, is that there isn't a lot of opportunities for growth when it comes to the things that you do well.
Right.
Which means that the people who do it very well, their prize or their success model was always like, how does the people respond? It wasn't how much money do I get in return. It's like, how does the community respond? Like, how many people can I fit at my table when I cook this meal? Or how many people can come and hear my music in the streets when I play? It wasn't about, oh, I got the best record deal. I got the best cooking deal, whatever. Can you get cooking deals? I don't know.
But, I think so. Especially now.
Possible nowadays.
That's an influencer. You can be that. So it wasn't about it. That wasn't the way they oriented their success. And so seeing those examples, that deeply informed how I began to orient it. And then I think the community just responded to what I was doing in a way that I could have never imagined. You know, they uplifted me. They decided that what I was doing was important enough to be carried along. You know what I mean? So that's part of the things that I can't take credit for. You know, it was just the timing was right. The moment was right. And people talked and I listened. You know, that's kind of how it happened.
The beauty in that is that it didn't like start around money.
Yeah.
You know? And it's something that you loved and grew into in a way that you just attracted this to become your life, right?
Right. Speaking about community and also talent, Little Birdie told me about Little Eternal Steeds.
Yeah.
Come on.
Which is your nonprofit started by Studio B, nonprofit in which, you can talk more about it, but specifically works towards using artists' work as a way to speak about cultural history, activism, change, and all of that. So how do you think that empowering youth to do the same thing has helped to transform transform our communities in the ways that you've seen?
That's exactly
a great question.
Yeah. Over the years, and it's been a lot of years, we've just been doing the work. You know, we didn't think about ourselves as a nonprofit or think about ourselves as an organization. It was just like, there's a need. And we feel like we can do something about it. There's a quote from Mos Def, a.k.a. Yasin Bey. He said, I was taught if there's something you could change around, keep quiet. You got nothing to complain about. You got work to do. And so we were like, okay, we could sit and complain and talk about it, or we could just go to work. And we've been doing that. Me and my peers and I, we've been doing it for a long time. So it's been about almost a year now that we've been in existence. And we've just, the summer camp that we've been doing for 10 years. It'll be our 10th year this summer. We're like, okay, now we're going to do it under the nonprofit. Or the mentorship programs that we've been doing for forever. It's like, okay, now we're going to do it under this nonprofit. So Eternal Seeds is the name. You can think about it. Another rapper, Benny the Butcher, he said, what's more important, the flower or the soil that grew it?
Come on, rap quote. Come on, hip hop.
But the thing about it is, when you think about it, it's like, that's what we talked about in terms of what Eternal Seeds mean. It's like, we're investing in the soil. We're saying, okay, I might be a flower that grew from it. I got peers who are beautiful flowers that grew from it. But it's not enough to just celebrate the flower. Like, how do we invest into the soil? How do we make sure that there are more flowers that continue to grow and that we provide the necessary nutrients or resources or time and effort that it takes to help grow more? And so that's what Eternal Seeds is about.
The emotions that go behind putting these works together and really, like, you know, bringing your community in and the kids. One thing about you, B Mike, you bring these kids around and you show them the world. Even, you know, with the camp that we're having this weekend, you have some of your people and they're so excited to be here and, you know, they're helping so much. And I know that this is going to be an experience that they take with them forever. And as we continue to do these camps, I'm sure there will be more as we've been doing.
Definitely.
So, speak on that. Nah, please.
I'm waiting and ready for one of these young folks to be like, I could do it better than that, and to do it and be like, that's the point. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like we it's like a relay race, you know what I mean? We carry it as far as we can, we pass the baton, and we hope that one, we pass it in the better condition than when we got it, and also that knowing that the person that we pass it to is going to take it a lot further than we were able to go. And so I'm always trying to like prepare for that and also think about how, once again, to do what was done for me. And so but yeah, I think art is art. I mean, I'm biased, obviously, because I can live in that space all the time.
Right.
But I think leaning into our imagination, which is what I'm going to be talking about tomorrow, is what's required for us to create the change we want to see. You know, it's not enough to just be responsive and say, okay, I want to just destroy and dismantle things.
Right.
It's equally important, if not more important, to say, okay, what are we going to build and replace what we want to destroy? Like, what are we? How do we collectively use our imagination to say, okay, this system isn't working, but we can collectively imagine something different and better. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of times for us as a people, we can sometimes be hyper emotional about being responsive. So we're always stuck in defense. It's like, dang, this just happened. This happened. You know, we got to always respond just to assert, to have the agency to imagine, to say, you know what? This is the world I want to live in. It's just like the 10-point system. That is a radical imagination. That's to say, okay, we're fighting for this thing. We're not fighting against this thing. We're fighting for this thing. You know what I mean? And that's a distinction that we always have to remind ourselves as we do this work, is that it's not enough to just be saying, okay, what are we against? What are we against? It's what are you for? Mm-hmm. How do we organize around, like my homegirl Aja Monet said, she said, organize around your values, not your fears.
Using art as activism redefines art itself. Mm-hmm. So how do you think that merging the idea of art and activism allows for and creates space for this imagination in the way that we can transform activism itself.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good question. It's a tool, mm-hmm. just like anything else, you know. Everyone has a role to play in this work that we're doing. You know what I mean? Like, this camp is an example of all the different processes that's required to create the change we want to see. You can't just talk about what's in front of you. You got to talk about your health. You got to talk about what's in your pocket. You got to talk about what you're putting in your body. You got to talk about your knowledge about what's going on. You know what I mean? All these things play a role. And I feel like art plays a huge role in activism because, once again, it allows us to imagine. It allows us to reshape what's in front of us. It allows us to not just see. Art is about problem solving all the time. Yes. You know what I mean? I feel like life. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It teaches you that math teaches you. Let's use that as an example. Math teaches you that there's a few ways to answer a problem.
Yeah.
That there's a formula that you can follow to answer a problem. Art teaches you that 2 + 2 is whatever I want it to be. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be how I determine how I solve this problem. And so I think for a lot of us, especially young people that are already oriented to think that way, we kind of get taught out of it as we get older. It teaches you that you can imagine solutions that aren't based on the rules that someone else said. Because that's really where the answer is going to come from. It's going to come from, and truthfully, you know, we might be too deep into it in terms of like deep into someone else's imagination.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because really that's what we're living in. We're living in the remnants of someone else's imagination. Mm-hmm. Someone who decided that your skin is going to determine how you are dressed or how you are going to exist and maneuver in society. That's someone's imagination. Like, it's a wicked imagination, but it was a strong imagination that years later, we're still trying to deconstruct that imagination.
We almost have to unlearn it within ourselves in order to be able to see collectively this, you know, imaginative future that we have for ourselves. And that is the basic 10 points of being able to be, you know?
Right, exactly. And so that's the imagination that's required. We gotta take out a pencil and erase the imaginations of the past.
Yeah.
Which is what the work that we've been doing, right? And then we have to start drawing in something in that place. You know what I mean? So now, okay, in replace of that imagination, I'm going to draw in something new.
Right.
You know,
and all of the beautiful things. Mm-hmm. I think we forget how, like, beautiful life is supposed to be as far as really embracing each other and the things and the spaces that we want to infiltrate. And, like, you know, we're caught behind what it was and what it was meant for mm-hmm. us to see. So we really got to break those things down. Point. And that's something that you've been doing. And teaching the youth too. So, you know, you being here and talking to the kids and speaking that knowledge and really putting it all together is so important. And we're so happy and excited. And we thank you for it all. And we're going to do it again next time and the next time after that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Y'all doing a great job. Look at that.
Mm-hmm. It's the Know Your Rights Camp podcast.
Yes. I'm Chandra Rogers.
I'm Mia Bell Busico.
I'm Brandon B. Mike Odoms.
And we know our rights. Thanks for listening to the Know Your Rights Camp podcast. I know you loved it. And if that's true, I need you to like, subscribe, and share. Okay?